Let's pray. Father, we bless you as we present ourselves to you, looking for just another opportunity to get in your word and get understanding. And we just bless you for our Savior. And we thank you for your kingdom has come. We glorify you in his wonderful name. We do pray. Amen. One of the things, what I want to deal with tonight is I like kind of sharing things. I like sharing. I could hear y'all, my grandbaby sitting right here looking ratted, my face just gritted. And so I like sharing things with you from a proper perspective of things that that happens with me, and because, you know, it's just neat to learn from these things, and I think it also even prepare you know, it prepares us for these type of encounters, and from these encounters we have to make sure that we're ready and we understand the subject matter. Okay. We're gonna go to Genesis 49. We'll start there, but we may, it just depends on how much time we have. We may move into Ezekiel, the book of Ezekiel. It just depends on if we have enough time to do both. And so we'll see here. I don't know if we'll make it to both. If we have time, we'll go to Ezekiel 33, but I don't know if we'll have enough time. Okay, now, Ezekiel 49. Now, well, with Ezekiel 49, we've dealt with this before. We've dealt with this before, but I want to show you how things are getting and have gotten. You know, things are getting they're getting worse and worse, and then this information is out there now, but it's getting worse and worse. I'll say that way. Genesis 49. Obviously, we've discussed it. Whereas our father Jacob, Genesis 49, verse 1. Our father Jacob, he gathered all of the sons, our fathers. It was 12 of them. He gathered them to tell them what would befall them the last days. In other words, what was going to happen to them on the last day. And so, as he's doing this, he gives, you know, certain things to, he says certain things to the sons based upon the Spirit of Yah resting upon him to reveal these things to his sons as far as their future was concerned or their descendants. And there are a lot of things that's going on amongst what I call them camps, for lack of a better way to put it, because that's what they call themselves. There are a lot of Israelites who are teaching the word, who are teaching who we are as a nation, and they're using a lot of information to do so, and so they, you know, each one of them have what they call camps, and you may have a few churches that's up under these specific camps and things like that. And so it amazes me because, you know, I've dealt with different ones in one fast or another. I've had conference calls with some of them and different things like that. And, I mean, it's a strange thing. And the reason why I say it that way is because it's like these brothers have been taken or have come into understanding of who we are as a nation of people. And so they have removed themselves from churches and have have gotten together their own camps, churches, however you want to put it. And everybody thinks that they have it right, you know. And the Bible clearly says all of us know in part. And so even we don't have everything all the way right, we're working toward that, you know. We're coming into understanding of a lot of things. But the reason why I say we don't have everything right because we're, you know, the Spirit is constantly resting upon us to give us understanding of some things. So I'm not necessarily saying that what we're teaching is wrong. It's just I'm saying we don't have everything right. We're constantly learning. That's what I mean. And so, you know, so I don't kind of look at us as saying, you know, we the way, if you don't see it our way, then, you know, something wrong with you. You know, you don't have it. We got it. No, I'm always looking to learn. And, you know, we was having a conversation, and one of the things that, you know, Alan had mentioned, and it's the same perspective as far as the way that I think. I'm willing to listen to anybody as long as they tell the truth. I don't care what preacher it is. I don't care what color they are, what race, nation. It don't matter to me. It's just that if they telling the truth, I want to hear it. And so I said I'll say this. Don't get just caught up in the thing, well, you know, I just listen to Pastor Boyce and I don't listen to nobody else. Well, if somebody telling the truth, listen. But at the same time, I do encourage you to make sure that you know enough word to be able to determine if they're telling the truth. If you don't know enough word to be able to determine it, then, you know, you might want to be able to be cautious about who you listen to. But at the same time, if you're mature enough and you can't be deceived from doctrines that's being taught, then there's nothing wrong with listening to somebody else who's speaking the truth. I have no problem with that whatsoever. I'm not one of those pastors who be like, you don't want to listen to me. You don't listen to me. You know, I'm your pastor. I don't get caught up in the stuff like that. You know, you can go anywhere. You can go in church. You can go visit in church. All that stuff don't matter to me. You know, because, you know, whatever y'all ordained to be here is going to be here, and I don't have to be concerned about them, you know, finding another place and all that. And whatever he hadn't ordained to be here can't stay. That's my mindset. So I don't get caught up in all that. So if a person is teaching the truth, listen to him. Listen to him, you know. I pray that I'm not the only one, you know, our minister is not the only one telling the truth, you know, but, you know, listen to them. If it don't come out right, then, you know, I listen to people and I accept what I perceive as the truth, and all the rest of the stuff I throw right on out the window. You know, that's not my understanding. So from their perspective, these camps have a different mindset in that they believe that they have coined the truth, that how they see it, the way they deal with it, is the truth. And if you don't see it their way or tell it their way, then it's not the truth. I just believe in saying what the Bible says and interpreting what the Bible says. I don't believe in adding to it or taking it away. If I can't prove it in Scripture, I won't preach it. I don't care who's preaching it. If I can't preach it in truth, I will not preach it. It doesn't matter to me. Who's saying it, you know? So that's my mindset. So, but this is how these camps are. And so I was in one of these meetings yesterday, and, you know, a lot of brothers was talking about some things, and this particular brother was teaching this particular passage, Genesis 49. What he went on to say is that all of the tribes of Israel could be identified today based upon, you know, based upon what is said in Genesis chapter 49. And I agree to a certain perspective, but then the way he presented it, I was like, nah, this is not it. So I'm just going to show you this, and we're going to deal with it, and I want to give you an understanding how to deal with it. Yeah, Adam.
I just had a comment, even from what you were saying earlier. I think the key is to be able to hear from Yah, because without that, it's hard to know who's telling the truth and who's not, right? So based on what we're saying, allowing the Spirit to slide in on your mind, they could be telling something that's true, and then the next statement is not true, and your spirit be like, okay, something wrong with it. Something is wrong with that. That'll help you distinguish the difference. Other than that, it'd be hard to tell you know, one way or the other.
Right. And that's, you know, and that's vitally important, you know, and that's why, you know, I made the statement that if you can't make a determination of, by the Spirit resting on your mind from what you hear, to be able to say, no, this don't bear witness, then I encourage you not to listen to anybody. But if you're mature enough to the point to where you can't be deceived from the things that people say, then, you know, I don't have a problem, you know, with you listening to anybody, because the most important thing to me is that we walk in understanding. We walk in truth. That's the most important thing to me, okay? And so I want to encourage y'all from that perspective, all right? Now, what this group went on to say, and I mean, they're a pretty well-known group. They're all over YouTube and, you know, all this. I mean, they're pretty well-known. These folks are pretty well-known, at least from the perspective of teaching who we are as a nation. They're a pretty well-known group. And I deal with a lot of them in different types of sittings and stuff like that. And so, they have come to, you know, at least the one I've dealt with, they've come to respect, you know, what I walk in and things that I understand. And, you know, some of them call me master teacher, and some call me different names. Some of the names, I really don't, be honest, I don't really care for any of the names. It just that's just how they label me, and so they do it so much, I just don't say anything anymore. I used to be like, man, gone. You know, I don't want to hear all that. You know, I'm just lawn, man. So, as they went on to deal with this, here's what this particular person was teaching on, and so, so I want to go in and deal with this now. Genesis 49, verse 2, it says, gather yourselves together and hear, ye sons of Jacob, and hear and hearken unto Israel, your father. So Jacob and Israel is one and the same. It's Genesis 49, verse 2. Then it says, Reuben, thou art my firstborn, my might, and the beginning of my strength, the excellency of dignity, and the excellency of power, unstable as water, thou shalt not excel, because thou wentest up to thy father's bed, then defilest thou it. He went up to my couch. Basically, what our father Israel was saying was that Reuben had intimate relationship with with one of our father's wives. I believe it was Bilhah, but let me make sure. It was Bilhah, because Genesis 35, verse 22 says, and it came to pass when Israel dwelt in that land, that Reuben went and lay with Bilhah, his father's concubine. So you read the word concubine, it's just basically saying his wife, okay? Because our nation had...
Question.
Yeah.
Could it be that the concubine is a wife that's not an Israelite?
I don't know. Well, we can go look at the word concubine and see what it is.
Or a wife from a slave, man?
I don't know. It really doesn't. From looking at it here, it really doesn't give. It really doesn't give anything kind of in detail to do it. Yeah. I mean, let's just take a little minute and just look and see. Genesis 35. I mean, it's a good question, so let's see.
First one,
35 and 22. It doesn't give any it doesn't give anything that lead us to explain in detail what it is. It's just a female call. I mean, all signs point to just from as you see associations, I guess, with the word that it just basically means one of the wives, I guess. I don't know if she's of another nation or not. I don't know. Okay. But I mean, if you find something, let me know. Genesis 49, verse 4, it says, "Unstable as water, thou shalt not excel, because thou wentest up to thy father's bed, and thou then defilest thou it." He went up to my couch. And again, Genesis 35 and 22 tells what happens. And that's what I'm saying. We don't have to start guessing what Reuben did, but because the scripture tells us what he did. Genesis 35 and 22 says, "It came to pass when Israel dwelt in that land, that Reuben went and lay with Bilhah, his father's concubine, and Israel heard it." And then it goes on, and as you see, he's dealing with Reuben concerning the future, his future descendants, based upon what he did. Okay. But these people are, you know, these Israelite brothers are using these passages to go on and deal with some things. So when they got to verse 5, this is when I stopped them, and this is the part of the lesson that we're going to go into. Genesis 49, verse 5 says, Simon and Levi are brethren. Instruments of cruelty are in their habitation. And so when you look at the way they explain it, they went on to say that instruments of cruelty was in association with witchcraft and things like that, because they was trying to establish that Levi, the tribe of Levi, is your Haitian. Your Haitian people are Israelites, but they were specifically trying to identify where all the tribes are. You know, you get some say, you know, that the tribe of Judah is in America. You know, I agree to that to a certain extent, but I don't just label everybody in America as descendants of Judah. I don't do that, because I understand what the scripture says, okay? And when I show you this, you'll see why. And so I'll say, okay, there are, you know, majority of us, you know, that may come from the tribe of Judah, because, you know, Judah means praise and different things like that. And there are certain things that identify those tribes from a certain perspective. But I won't call everyone in America from the tribe of Judah, again, because of how I understand scripture. But again, he says, Simeon and Levi are brethren, instruments of cruelty, are in their habitation. And so this individual went on to say, because the priests, the Levitical priesthood, were responsible for the spiritual aspect of our tribe, you know, they were the priests that were responsible for handling the things as far as the temple and all the things associated with the temple and the spiritual aspect of our nation. They were responsible for leading us through into those things, however you want to put it. And so he said, because instruments meant that it was witchcraft, that it went on to show that's the reason why the Haitians, it's like they went the opposite way. That instead of being the instruments of righteousness as far as the spiritual aspect was concerned, they were basically saying that they went the opposite way. They went to perversion. So that's how you're able to identify them You know, and I was like, well, in that case, you got a lot of people in New Orleans that from the tribe of Levi. You know, because my brother-in-law will tell you that, you know, it's quite a bit of witchcraft that go on to a certain perspective there. So I'm like, okay, for you to make a statement based upon the word instrument, then, you know, that's a, you know, shady way to look at this and try to prove that. So I stopped him, and I was like, okay, let's deal with the words here, and we'll understand the scripture based upon precept upon precept, line upon line. So when you look at the word instrument, obviously it's an object. Kind of in a simple form, it's an object. But when you start looking at the word cruelty, that's when you start to see. That's when you start to see or get an understanding of what's really being said here. And so, I'll deal with the word instrument, and then I'll deal with the word cruelty. And then we'll have an understanding of how you guys can be able to deal with this information. There are a lot of other material I'm starting trying to get to you guys. But instrument, in a nutshell, it means article. Utensil, equipment, and so when you look at instrument, it's associated with things along that order, but a tool in a nutshell. So when he said, y'all, you were instruments of cruelty, he was saying you were a tool of cruelty. Now, since we understand what the instrument is, we'll look at the word cruelty to start to deal with this thing and to make sure that we're operating in understanding. Okay, so when you look at let me go back. So when you look at cruelty now, the word cruelty, means in a nutshell, I'm pulling up my information, the word cruelty means violent. That's a violent word to understand. So I'm showing you the difference. Someone who, and I'm teaching you how the importance it is to back up what you say in scripture. Someone who doesn't spend a lot of time studying the scripture, but spend a lot of time looking at other materials, surnames, you know, we're talking about surnames, things that's been added to the Bible. These brothers are all in the apocryphal books. They get all these materials, because these brothers are telling me, man, all these books, they ordering and all this kind of stuff. All these just books on top of books. And my thing was like, okay, bro, how much time do y'all spend actually studying the Bible? Because if you spend any time studying the Bible, you would understand cruelty had nothing to do with witchcraft whatsoever.
I mean, even in the context of the statement, it didn't say they used instruments of cruelty. It just referred to them as instruments of cruelty. So to make the assumption that they would use instruments because of this is taking the sentence out of context.
Exactly. So when you see these type of things, and that's what I'm saying, y'all. When you hear me or anyone else teaching the word, You have to listen to the things that we say, and you have to make sure that what we're saying lines up with the passage that we're reading, and there are other things that's associated with words that have to make sense. So when someone says instrument of cruelty. And so I'm going to ask you a question. We're not going to get to Ezekiel 33. I can see it already. So I'm going to ask this question. You can answer it, but my reason for asking is because I want you to think on it. If someone is teaching you and they say instrument of cruelty is witchcraft, and there's no information in the scripture that can confirm that, ask them to show you where that says it.
Yeah. Well, where did you make that connection?
Exactly.
To draw that conclusion.
Yes, sir. Don't sit in front of any preacher and let them teach you something without them giving you a valid reason, concrete evidence to back up why they teaching you that. Can't be no take my word for it. Because as soon as he got to instruments of cruelty and saying instruments of cruelty is witchcraft, I said, stop. We don't need to go no further. How did you come to that conclusion? How did you come to the conclusion that instrument of cruelty is witchcraft? Show me in the scripture. We stop now. Because can't nobody show me in scripture. And that's what preachers do most of the time when they want to deceive and preach certain names scripture calls you to believe scripture that they've now taken and added information to the scripture. You know, that's what people surname thing. They want you to believe stuff just because that's how they understand. Well, we don't teach like that here. You will never hear me give you information without at least trying to find the source of why I'm giving you that information. Especially when I'm dealing with scripture, I'm always looking for things that bring about an understanding. And this is a perfect example. Alan asked a question concerning concubine. And I was like, okay, let's try to find it. Let's try to find this in scripture to understand it. Well, we couldn't really find something concrete to give us other than a concubine being one of the women or one of the wives of Israel. So we leave that alone until we can find that information. That's how we deal with it. That's why we approach the scripture that way. If we can't back up what we're thinking in scripture, we'll put it on the back burner until we come across something to give us a better understanding of it. That's how we do it. There's nothing wrong with having a thought, but the bottom line is whatever thought we have, if once we take a look at it and can't get confirmation in scripture, you know, we put it on the shelf or we totally abandon it. That's how we do it. Because it's all about letting the scripture interpret itself. So I was like, okay, stop. Stop right here. There's no reason to go any further. Where did you come with that conclusion? Where did you get instruments of cruelty to mean what you're telling us that it means? Well, the individual couldn't give the information. He couldn't give an understanding of what it was. So I said, okay, let's deal with this now. I said, when you look at instruments of cruelty, based upon the scripture here, it means violence. Okay? It means violence, it means damage, all these things that's associated with it. I said the key word here is violence. So when you look at them being called instruments of cruelty, let's see if the Bible can bag up what we understand. Let's see if the Bible can bag up what we're looking at from the Hebrew meaning of the word. Not what you're saying here, what the Bible says it is. Now, let's look at the scripture and see if violence makes sense. Okay? First of all, we're going to stay with the literal. You know how we dealt with it this past week? We're going to stay with the literal. Then we're going to go back and look at some precept upon precept, line upon line to confirm what the literal is saying. So, okay, we know without a doubt now there are instruments of cruelty. Okay? Scripture tells it. Verse 5, Simeon and Levi are brethren. Instruments of cruelty are in their habitation. Verse 6, O my soul, come thou into their secret. Okay? Hold on just a minute. I'm multitasking, so y'all bear with me. Okay, now, according to verse 6, now it says, O my soul, come not thou into their secret. unto their assembly. Mine honor, be thou not united. For in their anger, so now we understand that there's an association with instruments of cruelty. What did we say the definition of instruments of cruelty was? Violence, wrong, damage, injustice, oppressor, unrighteousness. These are the words that's associated with instruments of cruelty. So now we see now a connecting word to let us know that, okay, this instrument of cruelty is starting to reveal to us something here, that these brothers were angry. Something says, for in their anger, they slew a man. And in their self-will, they dig down a wall. Y'all seeing it now. Now, verse 7 says, cursed be their anger, for it was fierce, and their wrath, for it was cruel. Now we have instruments of cruelty, and then we have cruel here in verse 7. We have instruments of cruelty in verse 5, and we have the same association in verse 6 from a perspective of cruel. They're called instruments of cruelty in one perspective, and then they're called it's basically saying in a nutshell that it was cruel. It was cruel, but they're the instruments of it. Okay? Now, when we deal with this, in order to bring about an understanding, we said, okay, what did they do? What was it that they did, and what is it that they did that caused them to be classified as instruments of cruelty? Now, we go to Genesis chapter 34, I believe, and we see the story that identifies why this is going on. So we'll start at I don't want to read the whole chapter, but I'm going to try to. I'm going to just start at verse 6. Genesis 34, verse 6. It says that Hamor, the father of Shechem, went out unto Jacob to commune with him. And the sons of Jacob came out of the field when they heard it, and the men were grieved, and they were very wroth, because he had wrought folly in Israel in line with Jacob's daughter. So when you look at, we'll continue to read now, which thing ought not to be done. You have to understand how our nation was. They wanted to keep the sons and daughters within the tribes and didn't really care much for them going outside the tribe. But there were other things that happened at certain times. They would conquer the nations and take the wives for themselves, kind of deal. But to give you an understanding, it was a no-no to give an Israelite daughter to somebody of another nation, because the Israelite or the Hebrew was identified from the man. If the man was the Israelite, then the children most likely, you know, where the children were. And so as the story goes on, and if you agree, I should have went up to chapter 1, but I'm not. In a nutshell, this guy, I'm going to go back up. Verse 1. That's why you're going to really understand this story. It says, And Dinah, the daughter of Leah, which she bare unto Jacob, went out to see the daughters of the land. And when Shechem, the son of Hamor, the Hivite, okay, so he's a Hivite, I believe it's Canaan, I'm not correct. I think they got a Hivite from Ham. A Hivite prince of the country saw her. Okay? The Canaanites. He saw her. He took her and lay with her and defiled her. And so he basically, in a nutshell, raped her. Okay? And verse 3 said, and his soul clave unto Dinah, the daughter of Jacob, and he loved the damsel, and spake kindly unto the damsel. Okay, and so I'm going to say he raped her, but then at the same time, I ain't going to necessarily say that either. Okay, I'm saying he raped her from a perspective of how I understand our nature look at it. Okay, but at the same time, when you look at verse, you look at verse 3, you know, it showed that he loved it, so, you know, I ain't getting in the house of that, you know, because I really don't deal with that, but it is. So you have to deal with it from how the men of our nation are thinking, okay? And so, verse 3 said, his soul clave unto Dinah, the daughter of Jacob, and he loved the damsel, and spake kindly unto the damsel. And Shechem, verse 4, spake unto his father, Hamor, saying, get me this damsel to wife. And Jacob heard that he had defiled Dinah, his daughter. Now his sons were with his cattle in the field, and Jacob held his peace until they were come. And Hamor, the father of Shechem, went out unto Jacob to commune with him. And the sons of Jacob came out of the field. When they heard it, the men were grieved, and they were very wroth. Because he had wrought folly in Israel, in line with Jacob's daughter, which thing ought not to be done. That's why I'm saying it's rape, because for my nation it was rape, because you just don't go outside it. But at the same time, you never know what she's thinking. I don't know. But matter of fact, she went out in the first place. So I ain't going to add that. You just take it away. You want to do verse 8. And Hamor communed with them, saying, the soul of my son Shechem longeth for your daughter. I pray you give her him the wife and make ye marriages with her. Well, that's against our law. And then you're looking at Canaanite. So it was like, no, that was against what we were supposed to do as a nation. Okay? Then it says, verse 9, and make ye marriages with her and give your daughters unto us, and take our daughters unto you, and ye shall dwell with us, and the land shall be before you, dwell and trade ye therein, and get you possessions therein. And Shechem said unto her father and unto her brethren, let me find grace in your eyes, and what ye shall say unto me I will give. Ask me never so much dowry and gift, and I will give according as ye shall say unto me, but give me the damsel to wife. And the sons of Jacob answered Shechem and Hamor his father deceitfully. Okay? The sons of Jacob answered deceitfully and said, because he had defiled Dinah, their sister, and they said unto him, we cannot do this thing to give our sister to one that is uncircumcised, for that were a reproach unto us. Our nation, the men were circumcised at 8 days old. When all the sons of Israel turned 8 days old, they were circumcised. Okay? Then it says, verse 16, then will we give our daughters unto you, and we will take your daughters to us, and we will dwell with you, and we will become one people. But if ye will not hearken unto us to be circumcised, then we will take our daughter, and we will be gone. And their words pleased Hamor and Shechem, Hamor's son. And the young men deferred not to do the thing. They hurried up with it. They always circumcised him, because he had delight in Jacob's daughter. And it was more honorable than all the house of his father. And Hamor and Shechem, the son, came unto the gate of their city and communed with the men of their city, saying, These men are peaceable with us. Therefore, let us dwell in the land and trade therein for the land. Behold, it is large enough for them. Let us take their daughters to us for wives, and let us give them daughters. Only herein will the men consent unto us for to dwell with us, to be one people, if every man male among us be circumcised. And they all circumcised. They did it. Okay? circumcised the cow also. Verse 23. I'm skipping now. Verse 24. I don't know why they circumcised the beast. Shall not, is verse 23, shall not that cow and her substance and every beast of theirs be ours? Only let us consent unto them and dwell. Did they dwell in animals? Did they circumcise the animals? So it doesn't show that.
Oh, I thought it was what you said.
I might have, but not ain't what I mean. He said, shall not that cow and the substance and every beast, I think I did, of theirs be ours, and let us consent unto them that they dwell with us. And Hamor and Shechem, his son Hophni, all that went out of the gate of the city, and every male was circumcised, all that went up the gate of the city. And it came to pass on the third day. This is what I want to get to. Look at this now. Now we're understanding why Jacob is saying this. This verse reveals it. And it came to pass on the third day, why he says this is Simeon, the instruments of cruelty. And it came to pass on the third day, when they were sore, that two of the sons of Jacob, Simeon and Levi, Dinah's brethren, because they had the same mother. That's why they were most offended by it. Okay? They all had the same father, but Dana was all of a sister, but Simeon and Levi, they had the same mother and father. That's why they were so angry about it. Okay? Now, it says, again, it came to pass on the third day when the men were sore. They were sore from the circumcision. Sore and they weak. Sore, the two sons of Jacob, Simeon and Levi, Dinah's brethren, took each man his sword and came upon the city boldly and slew all the males. You have two men to do this. We were something else, y'all, when it came down to wars and stuff like this. Two could go in and take out nations. Okay? Took out all the men. Killed all the men. And they slew Hamor, and Shechem, his son, with the edge of the sword, and took Dinah out of Shechem's house, and went out. Okay, and the sons of Jacob came up on the slain and fought the city because they had defiled their sister. Now I don't know if the sons of the rest of them came in there, but I know at least it's Simeon and Levi. Because this is the prophecy that he gave gave concerning them now. And now look, verse 28, they took the sheep, the oxen, and the asses, and that which was in the city, and that which was in the field, all their wealth, all their little ones, and their wives, took they captive, and spoiled even all that was in the house. And Jacob said, Simeon and Levi, ye have troubled me to make me to stink among the inhabitants of the land, among the Canaanites and the Perizzites, and I being few in number, they shall gather themselves together against me and slay me, and I shall be destroyed, I and my house. So when you look at this incident now, and you go to Genesis 49, and you read verse 5, now you understand why he's calling them instruments of cruelty. Verse 5, Genesis 49, verse 5 now says Simeon and Levi, instruments of cruelty. So you see now that instruments of cruelty based upon the word has nothing to do with witchcraft whatsoever. Genesis 35 tells us what happened. Verse 34. Genesis 34. No. Make sure. Is it 34? Yeah. 34. 34. Okay, yeah, 34. I'm thinking 25. And so when you see it here, we're able to see that the Bible tells us why they're classified as instrument of cruelty. And this is how people get off track, because they'll read something, and because it sounds good to them, or they may have read some other information in another book, They take this now and start saying, see, this is how you identify these tribes. Tribes of Levi are instruments of cruelty because they use witchcraft. Well, we know without a doubt the scripture is teaching us the opposite of that. Now, as you go on to see it now, it goes on and says, again, in verse 5, Simeon and Levi are brethren, instruments of cruelty, are in their habitation. O my soul, come not thou in their secret, unto their assembly, mine honor. Be not thou united. Why? He's talking about his honor now, because what did he say? Okay, you make me look bad in this land. He said back in 34. Okay? And then he says, for in their anger they slew a man, and in their self-will they dig down a wall. Okay? So he's telling how they went in and they did this here. Because when you look at Genesis 34, verse 26, it's saying they slew Hamor and Shechem, his son, with the edge of the sword, and took Dinah out of Shechem's house and went out. They dig a hole in the wall. That's how you make the connection. So when we look at Genesis 34, verse 26, it explains what he's saying. They dig down a wall. They went in there and got their sister. And so it's showing how they did it, okay? Then he goes on to say, verse 7, cursed be their anger, for it was fierce, and their wrath, for it was cruel. I would divide. Here's the curse now. What does curse mean? It means pronounce a sentence. So because they did this act, our father Jacob is pronouncing a sentence on them, and he said, this is what's going to happen to you as a result of this now. So he said, I will divide them in Jacob. I will divide them in Israel and scatter them in Israel. I will divide them in Jacob. I will scatter them in Israel, one and the same. So when you look at this event happen, you can see how this actually took place. Now, okay, you look at Joshua chapter 9. You can look at Joshua chapter 9. You can look at Joshua chapter 19, and you can see the scripture being fulfilled. Joshua 19, verse 1 says this. Yes, ma'am.
You said a curse is judgment?
Yeah. When you look at the word curse, it basically, in a nutshell, means it can say judgment. It means to pronounce a sentence upon. So if I say curse be, you know, if I say curse be some individual, what I'm doing is pronouncing a sentence on that individual, and what I say after that is the definition of what I'm classifying as a curse. So I give you an example of this. Let me see.
So a judgment is never anything good.
Yeah, it can be. It can be, but when you look at the word curse, no. Because when you look at the word judgment, it can have a different meaning than the actual word curse. Although the word curse can be a sentence that's pronounced on someone in a, what you saying?
I was going to say, it's typically the negative connotation.
Right.
Negative
right. And so when you read curse, it has bitterness associated with it. Whereas pronouncing a sentence on somebody or a judgment on somebody can be for a just reason. And so I was going to use example as far as the courts are concerned. You know, they'll make a judgment and it could be just or unjust. Well, if it's unjust, it's a curse. Because they're pronouncing a sentence on someone that is unjust to a certain perspective. But when you look at this particular passage, this curse is justified because the action is coincides with it, so to speak. So when you look at curse, it means a roar, which is bitterly cursed. And so when you look at variations of the word, it means to pronounce a sentence on. Okay.
All right.
Okay. So he says, curse be their anger. So he's pronouncing a sentence on their anger. He said, but it was fierce, and their wrath, but it was cruel. He said, I will divide them in Jacob and scatter them in Israel. And when you start to look at scripture and look at the history of Simeon and Levi, Simeon ended up being one of the smallest nations, being the smallest nation of our tribe. And so Joshua 19:1 says this. It says, and the second lot came forth to Simeon, even for the tribe of the Simeon, even for the tribe of the children of Simeon, according to their families. And the inheritance was within the inheritance of the children of Judah. So you have the tribe of Simeon who went into Judah, who merged, and their territory was in the land of Judah. And so that's why I be trying to tell them, brothers. I be like, well, you trying to say the 10 tribes, northern tribes, went into here and there. I'm like, you got to stay with the scripture and realize that, okay, you had Simeon that was really kind of merging in with Judah, you know. And so Simeon ended up, because of his the smallness of his tribe, it didn't have its own land mass. He ended up having territory that was within the tribes of Judah, okay? And as you go on and read about Aaron or the Levites, your Levites ended up being the priests of our nation, and all the priests of our nation, they didn't have their own land mass, but they had cities within each tribe. So that prophecy came true. Simeon ended up scattered into Judah, and your Levitical priest ended up scattered in every tribe. So you had, they were identified as the priests or from the tribe of Levi, but when you went into Dan had some of your Levites, okay? Judah had some of the Levites. These different tribes, Issachar and all these, they had some of your Levites that were stationed in cities throughout the tribe of Israel. So that prophecy actually came to pass. So when our father spoke over these sons, it came to pass. And so you can go read about that. You can go read about that in Joshua chapter 21. Joshua chapter 21, you can see it, okay?
So Simeon, so Reuben and Simeon still angry today?
I don't know.
That was Levi and Simeon.
Reuben
didn't have a tribe.
Okay, yeah, that's right.
Right. Reuben lost his birthright, so that's why you see Ephraim. So when you hear them talk about Judah and Ephraim, it should have been Judah and Simeon, but because Simeon lost his birthright here, Reuben, I'm sorry, because Reuben lost his birthright, it should have been Reuben and Judah, but because Reuben lost his birthright for sleeping with his father's wife, then Ephraim became the representative of those other tribes instead of Reuben. So Reuben lost his birthright. He lost his heritage because of what he did. Okay? So you have three sons. You have three sons where you're seeing things happen to them as a result of what they did. And so you see in the scripture here, again, Joshua chapter 19, verse 1. And then you can look at Joshua chapter 21, verse 1 through 42. And you can read where all the priests were scattered amongst those, amongst all of our tribes. And I'll just, let me see, I'll read what you were going to say. I'll read Joshua 21 verse 3 and then I'll stop for the sake of the time. Joshua 21 verse 3 says this, and the children of Israel gave unto the Levites. Levi, so your Levites come from Levi. So the children of Israel gave unto the Levites out of their inheritance. In other words, all of the tribes who had land mass gave of the Levites their land mass. So all your Levites lived through all the tribes. That's what verse 3 is saying. And the children of Israel, this is Joshua 21, verse 3. It says, and the children of Israel gave unto the Levites out of their inheritance at the commandment of Jehovah these cities and their servants. Okay, so all of your Levites grew up in all these cities in all of those tribes, fulfilling what our father Israel or Jacob spoke to Levi and Simeon concerning concerning what they did being instruments of cruelty. And so that prophecy actually came to pass. You know, and so when you look at scriptures like this, y'all, make sure, and I wanted to deal with this like this because I wanted you to make sure that you understand anytime somebody's teaching you, they have to be able to teach you precept upon precept, line upon line, like we're dealing with. If they can't, I strongly encourage you to you know, be in a church setting, leave, you know. The scripture has to be taught just like this. Doesn't matter who's teaching it. What you laughing for, Adam? Yeah, so
he can't go to no church service. Church service don't break down the scripture and explain why they say what they say.
In other words, you saying well, I can't say nothing. In other words, y'all, what Adam's trying to say in a nutshell is you don't run into preachers that see the stuff the way we talk about it.
Oh, they won't explain. I don't know. I haven't come across it. I just put it that way. Can't say that it ain't out there, but I haven't seen it.
Well, I hate to say it, but I've been preaching for a good minute. I've been preaching since 1992. Was it going 24 years? Yeah, 24 years. I've been preaching going on 24 years, and have been in a lot of church sittings. You know, being who my father was, my father founded 6 churches and things like that. So I've always been in church sittings all my life. Well, I'll be 53 this month. And in 53 years, I haven't heard it broken down like the way we do it. So, you know, between Alan and I, at least at this point, I've heard a lot of preaching. I haven't heard people deal with scriptures and tie them together the way that Yah leads us to do it. I just haven't heard it. And so I have to be a little bit bold about it, you know, because I say it all the time. I was born to unseal the Bible. That's why I teach it that way. And that's why you who are part of the ministry teach it the same way, because as disciples, then the same spirit that comes upon me to look at these scriptures that way, it happens to you that way. And so when you approach the scripture and studying, remember the 5 dimensions that we dealt with, and you make sure that you do it the same way. You can. That mantle is up on the ministry, so if you since you're a part of it, you know, you can start to see and do these things. It's going to take a lot of studying, but you can do it. You can start to see these things. And I'll give you material. I'm going to give you some material to help you out. So as I get ready to close, here's what I want you guys to do. Each one of you who have phones where you can download Bible information, I want you to download this Bible. It's free. And I want you to download it. Just make sure that it's showing that it's free. If you need some assistance on it, then we'll also do that. It is called the what is it called? It's called the Blue Letter Bible. Explain how to do it, Alan. You most have about it. And I know what to do, but it's kind of you go to your what, your app,
either the App Store on your iPhone or Google Play Store. On your Android.
Yeah, you go to your App Store, you Google it, Blue Letter Bible. Once you see it, it's a free download. Depending on what type of phone you have and things like that, download that to your phone. Once you download it to your phone, I'll show you how to use it. We may just have a class, and I just show you how to use it, and we'll spend time just showing you how to use it. There, you know, I have different variations of Bibles, but this is a good one that'll help you word study. That'll help you word study and things like that to give you some fuel to at least study. I want to give you some material to at least study the way that we study. Okay, and now as far as the spirit is concerned, that's between you and me, you and Yah. But I can at least give you the material that I use to gather information. I don't want to hold back, so I want to teach you how to study. I'm gonna teach you how to study. Matter of fact, we're gonna be doing that maybe the next true weeks or so. I'm gonna teach you how I study the scripture. I'm gonna give you certain materials. Take that material, implement it. We'll open it up while we're doing the lesson. I'm gonna explain it to you as we're doing it. So we may do that next week if y'all say the same. Okay? That's what we'll do. All right. It's the Blue Letter Bible. Download it. It's a free app. Download it, and then we'll have it available to maybe deal with some things in class to show you how to use it. So that when you're studying your Bible, don't read it, study it, you'll know. Okay? All right. Any questions coming, I'm going to go ahead and stop right here.
Yes.
Yes.
So, in regards to all of these, when he gathered his sons together to pronounce these judgments upon them, those judgments still rest upon the descendants of these 12 today, right?
Well, yeah. When you look at, that's why when you look at it, when I had said, I'll say to a certain perspective, because when you look at Judah means praise. There are certain things that you know, that's kind of like in the, I'll say for lack of a better way to put it, like in the DNA of Judah, whereas you have descendants that will do certain things. And so, yeah, to a certain perspective, but I don't want to take the instruments of cruelty and say that was on Levi and Simeon.
So,
I'll go ahead.
So the consequences,
is they're scattered among
them. Yeah, that may still be affected,
right.
But the things that they did may or may not.
Right.
Okay, so the fact that they were, Simeon and Levi were cursed because they were angry, but the result of the anger is what the punishment was, in that they would be divided. So that's what's brought forward to generations now.
Right, because I mean, even if you look at Levi, they went on to be priests, so it wasn't like they were. It wasn't like that.
They're angry, yeah. Instruments of cruelty.
Right. I mean, because y'all turned around and used that branch as the priest of the nation, so you can't be like, well, they was utterly cursed because Simeon and Levi did that. No, the judgment was pronounced, and that consequence fell on them as a result of what they did, and, you know, it may fall up on them within the context of the millennial reign and beyond. I don't know that piece either, but so far as, you know, them necessarily, all of Levi's or Simeon, the descendants being angry, that's not what that's saying.
Okay.
It's kind of like it's different. When we dealt with, I think, Genesis 11, or is it 11, where it talks about the descendants of Noah, he talked about how the people were going to be. But on this, it's not necessarily...
Genesis 10.
He talked about how that would be. But on this, unless he specifically says, you know, this is going to be an attribute of these people, then what he pronounced is just that. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
Well, I guess I'm looking at, I'm thinking about when we refer to Japheth and how, you know, the scripture said he would be enlarged. That applies to even now. So I'm just trying to see if, you know, if it's the same with this. That's where I'm coming from by asking this.
Yeah, and that's what we're saying. The curse is not the focal point in order to answer that question concerning Simeon and Levi. And so what I mean by the curse, I'm talking about the anger part. The anger part is not the curse. The curse is the result from the anger. So when you look at the actual curse that they were scattered amongst the tribes, that's the actual curse.
Okay.
Their reasons for being scattered, or their reason for being cursed, is that they were angry. They were anger, or they were instruments of cruelty. And so the instrument of cruelty is not the result from it. The instrument of cruelty is the cause of it, of them being scattered. The result of it is the scattering. The cause is that they were instruments of cruelty.
All right.
And I give you an example as far as verse 9 is concerned. Just 49 verse 9, it says, Judah is a lion's whelp. For the prey, my son, thou art gone up. He stooped down, he crouched as a lion, and as an old lion, who shall rouse him up? That identifies the character of Judah, whereas the anger doesn't identify the character of Levi and Simeon.
Descendants.
Yeah.
Talk about the action of what they
did. And so it just mainly, and so when you look at Judah, it's different because it's identifying an action of what they were going to be like. Who shall rouse them? Verse 10 says, a scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come. Shiloh is obviously our Savior. And so the scepter, or the kingly line, that scepter from that kingly line remains. The rod of correction, all that. Our kings and things like that were ordained to come from Judah, and the lawgivers and things like that. And so when you see it, it identifies it to a certain perspective, you know, until Shiloh come. Then it says, and unto him shall the gathering of the people. So in other words, that is another thing, you know, because you get a lot of people that are trying, that will say, well, I'll just deal with the word lawgiver and then we'll go ahead and go. In other words, when you look at lawgiver, it says to be a scribe, to appoint to decree a governor, a lawgiver, okay? And so when you look at it from a perspective of the lawgiver until the Savior comes, that's why you see Your sons of Judah are the ones who most likely will go forward and start to speak the things of Yah in truth. Or at least you'll see a lot of them that will attempt to do so. It's because that mantle is up on Judah to lead a lot of things from that perspective. And so that lawgiver or that scribe, those scribes are coming from Judah to teach the laws and statutes of Yah to our people and start getting our people back on the track. Judah is the one who's leading that. And so that is another identifying thing to confirm that I'm of the tribe of Judah, that most of us, especially, you know, those that are here dealing with things, we're of the tribe of Judah because we're dealing with the precept and the laws of Yah, bringing about a true understanding. We're the lawgivers that's standing in the gap as Judah until our Savior comes. Okay, and so those are different things that you know that's used to do that, to identify that. So don't concentrate on the word curse, but concentrate on the word results from those curses, and it means. It means some things more so than just the word curse itself. Concentrate on the word scatter.
I think it's interesting too that it said curse be their anger.
Right.
It didn't even say them, it's their anger. So in a nutshell, it's like their anger will get them in trouble.
Right.
But it ain't necessarily saying, it ain't, their curse is not necessarily pronounced on them.
Right.
All right.
Okay. All righty, we'll go ahead and close right there. No other questions or comments? We're good? Okay. Father Yah, we bless your name on tonight. We thank you for just another opportunity to get understanding, and we just continue to desire to present ourselves before you for that purpose. bless you in the name of Yehoshua, Mashiach, we do pray. Amen.